This is Jeremy Hemsley of the Sheffield Sharks.
This is Lloyd Gardner, head coach of the Manchester Giants.
This is Lavelle Cook of the Surrey Scorchers.
This is Matthew Brian Aminin of the Cheshire Phoenix.
This is Vince McCauley of the London Lions. And you are now tuned into...
You're now tuned into the BBL show.
The BBL Show.
Okay, welcome to episode 3 of the BBL Summer Road Trip. I am Jay Marriott. He is Drew Lasker. How has your week been?
It's been good, Jay. I mean, I think we need a little more appreciation from the fans because currently I'm in Cinco Ranch Library in a cubicle recording episode 3. Episode 1, you were in your nan's closet. I mean, the sacrifices we are making to keep this show rolling, I think we deserve a little pat on the back, man. But I'm good. All is good on my side. How about you, my man?
Yeah, good. Just I think both our schedules are as insane as each other. You know, we're used to, I think, in the season having a bit of a rhythm. Right now, we're very much out of rhythm and just catching up when we can. But that's what we've committed to. So we're here. Look, so we are coming to you. We've hopped over from Houston, being out of Joy and Corey and Drew. And now we're going to be coming to you from Bonnie, Scotland today as we catch up with Kieran Achara, MBE, to talk about the launch of BBL Inspires, a community and wellness hub. This coupled with the Lasker Look Back. And first and foremost, you know it, it's the Marriott Minute. Okay, so intrigued me. Let's start with a congratulations to Leicester Riders Jamal Henderson and Manchester Mystics Georgia Jones on their marriage this week. This baller couple tied the knot in Greece. It was fantastic news. And look, guys, I'm a romantic at heart, okay? League news. Welcome back, William Lee, to the Leicester Riders. The high flyer plays a huge role in Riders' title push and returns hungry for more. Excited to see this roster coming together. A big announcement in Glasgow as the Rocks pen a deal for Alan Keane from the Reading Rockets to come and coach alongside Gareth Murray. I'm a big fan of Coach Keane. It's good to see him in the league. Engage me. Great to see early footage of Killer Cam, Cameron Hildreth, his time at Wake Forest, giving his signature sneaky dunks on a teammate in a scrimmage. We're hoping to catch up with him later in this summer to see how he's getting on, but it's great to see that he looks settled in his new environment. The BBL launched the BBL Inspire program, spearheaded by today's guest, Kieran Achara. We will let him tell us more, but a needed and fantastic initiative. Amuse me. Two things to check out this week, folks. High Tea Hoops' top 5 British pickup moves is an absolutely brilliant watch. You need to give that one a go, especially with all this summertime vibes. And then our very own 5 or 6, Peter, is at it again with William Lee reveal once again, a must watch. We need more of these across the league. He starts it with Anchorman, so you know it's going to be a lot of fun. So get onto the Leicester Riders page and check that one out. And that's it for this week's Marriott Minute. I'm always watching.
Great minute, Dre, and congratulations to the Andersons, as I believe their wedding was pushed back a year due to the pandemic. So congrats to those guys. But let's say our goodbyes to this Houston Heat and head across the pond over to Scotland in this episode of the Lasker Look Back. We take the 10-hour flight and land in Glasgow Airport. As soon as you land, it sounds like an entirely different dialect, as you really have to use your ear muscles to understand the language if you're a foreigner to the country, especially if they had a few bevvies. Speaking of bevvies, fancy a whiskey? Well, you're in heaven, as Scotland has over 100 distilleries. I'm a McAllen guy, so let's head over to Spyside and visit the McAllen Estate. I'm sure you're a little tipsy now, which will fit you right into the local derby. Celtic versus Rangers. There's no in-between, so you must choose a side. So choose carefully. After living in a pandemic for a year and a half, we all have some type of struggle, most being mental health. So let's head up the street over to Paisley and pay a visit to MBE and GB International, Kieran Achara, and chat about his lunch of BBL Inspire. And that is your Lasker Look Back.
Man, guys, it doesn't get any better than that. As an introduction, let's get our guest in the room, the big man on campus, Sky Sports anchor, MBE, former Glasgow rock star, Kieran Achara. Kieran, welcome back, big fella. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Enjoying the off-season. That's, you know, this is the off-season for me. So.
Sun is shining up there. This is a little bit of a different area. You know, we've been to a couple of different places in the States. Nice and warm. And how's Scotland looking?
It's beautiful. You know, we've got a big game tomorrow that we're ready to dominate against England. So
still feeling good then? Still feeling good after?
No, but I can always lie.
Hey, man, well, I'll say that in the Alaska look back, actually, I talked about the heavy accent there. And I will admit on the show, your accent now sounds normal after working with you for a year. I understand you completely clearly.
You know, it's crazy too, because I really tried to tone down, but see when I get nervous, excited, or, you know, I come full on. So I said, even when we first started doing the stuff with Sky, I was just like going straight Scottish. I was like, okay, calm down. People need to understand me. We have no subtitles right now.
I love it. Hey, listen, just quickly, just a little bit of an aside. What do you think about the Glasgow Rocks move for Alan Keane? How do you feel about that? I think he's a great coach. So
I would say they got extremely, extremely lucky. Mm. You know, I look at from an Alan Keane perspective, and I reached out to him straight away. I was like, you know, you're going to be in Scotland. And I said, look, have you ever? And he's like, look, I've already had those conversations. You know, he's a driven human being. He's always very open and is willing to adapt. I think from a cultural perspective, he'll be a great, great pickup. I just hope, you know, they utilize that and they understand how lucky they are to have that him in their arsenal at this moment in time. But you know, I'm happy for Alan. I think it's a chance for him to kind of progress and take it to that next level, get a really good understanding. But I think that the Glasgow Rocks have got really, really lucky, and it's a great, great help from Gareth. I'm sure the both of them will just be bouncing ideas off each other.
Yeah, so yeah, sure.
I think it's a really big move.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of took over those defensive coordinator role for the Rocks, similar to what he did for the England Commonwealth team. So like you say, it takes a load off of Garrett, someone who has head coaching experience, and he can focus a little bit more on the court, because it seemed like he still had a lot of gas left in the tank from last year.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a, you know, I was probably more excited about that than any signing from the Glasgow Rocks perspective last year. So yeah, I think they're in a good starting position.
Yeah, certainly exciting to see. So we'll keep an eye on it for sure. But look, we've got you on here to talk about the big initiative launched this week, BBL Inspire. So for the listeners, tell us what it's all about, and more importantly, what to expect.
Yeah, so I guess what it's all about is essentially, we were looking at ways of amplifying the voice of our community. So, you know, the backbone of the British Basketball League, you know, as a player, as an organisation, was constantly, we're always out in the community doing things. And obviously the pandemic hit, there was no fans, there was no visits, there was, you know, a lot of operations kind of shut down. And they were looking at ways of utilising, know, how can we still stay relevant within our communities and be giving back? And by pure luck, I was in a position with the Frog Systems, the company, the tech company behind the launch, who use this for employees' well-being usually, than more in the kind of corporate space. And it just made sense to kind of like, let's make a public platform and use the players, the voices of the players, the coaches, kind of put them front and centre, to kind of talk about their own experiences and essentially give little nuggets of advice, kind of help them understand that they go through things as well, but more importantly, point them in the right direction of the ways to go about getting the right supports that they need, you know, through resources, through organisations. Just like, no one should ever feel that they're in a place that they can't reach out for help. There's always help available. It's just kind of making sure that we amplified that, you know. And again, when I talk about from a BBL perspective, I think we're in a very fortunate position about having this platform, rightly or wrongly, you know, that we can actually help amplify the great work that's going on in the community. So not only talk about the stuff that we're doing as clubs in our communities, but the things that we're not covering, we can actually offer support from and hopefully develop strong partnerships within our communities as well.
Now, that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say that this is why I don't think I've said this publicly, but I've said this past season that we need a former player in the boardroom in those BBL meetings, because currently it isn't. And, you know, as smart as those guys or females are, they don't know what we go through as players. You know, they don't know our experiences. So, you know, I think you're the perfect person for it, Kieran, and the things that you're doing and trying to be a pioneer for the league. And I'm proud to be part of the production and share my story with Frog Systems. So just keep pushing, man. You're doing the right thing. You're doing it for the people, for the league, for the players. So keep pushing, my man. Well,
thank you. And obviously, I'll send you that check. You know,
it's both of us, really. Yeah, for sure. And for me, the only thing that wasn't good for my wellness is that you caught me in the middle of a pandemic trying to grow my hair. And I tell Kieran about this every time I need a refilm or I'm not going to feel good about it. But I'm just kidding. Like, it was amazing. I know they're short. That's the idea, is to touch on those ideas, little nuggets. But it felt great, you know, like to have that conversation.
And you know what? It's from an altruistic perspective too. You know, see, when you actually feel that you're helping and you're giving back, it makes you feel good. And like I said, it's a win-win in that sense. But at the same time, I want people to understand that this is a continuum. It's probably not going to be perfect right away. This is something that I hope will grow legs and, you know, there'll be more voices and other things to talk about. I want to kind of get to the point that we can start highlighting specific, you know, areas of, you know, say, for example, Black History Month. You know, let's get back and tell more stories. You know, if we're focused on certain things, the Naomi Osaka incident, how can we actually share our own stories and actually make it kind of like solution-based? So we're kind of looking at different resources and different things to empower people. And that's what I always talk about, empowering people. You want to feel that listening to a story is not enough. It has to resonate. And then, okay, what's the action from that? That's where we need to get to, the kind of action-based. So, like I said, I'm excited about the future of this. It's not, I don't want it to people to see it as a project per se. It's I hope it to be embedded, and it's something that's involved in our strategies going forward, that everything that we do on the court, off the court, comes back to being able to tell our stories and be able to help other people. And I think that's the power in it.
I really like that as well, because in working with our media team at the minute, that's my big conversation, is that the way that the world has gone anyway is about telling your story. They want to hear the stories. And if we attribute it to the show, like, we've never struggled when we've asked people to put their hand up and come in and talk about difficult subjects, you know? So we've had so many people come on here and just share their story. So I think just what's missing is somebody has to offer that, right? And say, hey, come talk. And I think everybody will be, you know, more than on board with that. So I'm looking forward to it. But hey, let's talk about your basketball journey a little bit. Like, so where in that journey would you see this initiative fitting? You know, is there a particular part in your journey? Like, I know you played in the States and it's a slightly different situation to Drew, you know, like we both headed over to the States, you leave your parents behind, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Drew got a different story of coming from what's perceived as a lower end of collegiate basketball to come in and have this amazing pro career. So there's lots of stories there, but is there anything personally for you where this would have been a great time?
Yeah. And you know what, in reflection, I never realized how many transitions I actually went through. So there's the leaving home for the first time. I think that's a big talking point that we have to discuss. But there's also the injuries, you know, dealing with injuries, dealing with those setbacks. There's the, you know, like you said, going from university to professional, the different kind of feel from that perspective, the coming to the end of your career, right? Being released from a club. All these different things are, you know, they're preparing you on your journey, but at the time it feels like the end of the world, right? You know, there's different things you're going through. But my thing is, see, when I was, for me, the retirement out of sport was, it was crucial for me to actually speak to people and understand that other people went through that exact same thing. They felt the same way. They had the same kind of thought. And then all of a sudden you're starting to get to, wow, Drew Lasker, like, he's playing as well as doing X, Y, and Z. I never thought about that. That's maybe something I could do. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying specifically this is the areas it is, but what I'm saying is there's all these little sparks of, wow, look what he's doing. Actually, how did he do this? So having stories told about how they set up, how, what was the reason for setting up? How did you get this? How have I found a way to balance this and this as well as playing? And even from a non-basketball perspective, there's other, you know, issues from that we can actually relate to, from bereavement to anxiety to going through certain things that it doesn't just relate to basketball per se, but just the wider communities. And that's what I've realized, that I've learned so much more now that I'm in the real world talking to other people. And I'm thinking, I've went through that exact same thing as an athlete, but here's my how I relate to it from a sports perspective to help you understand it, and vice versa. You know, and I think that that's the power in it, that we, that you realize through all these stories that we're all more connected than you actually think. Mm. And there's a lot to learn through that. Like for Drew, what you do is probably a normal thing, but to others, it's like, wow, I can't believe that's too much. It's this, it's that. Well, actually, you found a way. Here's the way I've done this. You know,
he never sleeps. That's why. Yeah. He never sleeps.
That, I mean, that, I get an hour a day. That's all I need.
Yeah, a nap in the rocking chair. That's what that is, mate.
There's a lot of power in that. And I think that those stories, that's a role modeling piece. You know, without actually understanding that, like, you're inspiring another generation. That's me trying to get your, you know, I'm trying to give you your flowers back after they give me some.
Appreciate it.
But, you know, it's exactly that. From you, it's exactly the same thing. The transitions that you've been through in your life, from, you know, playing, coaching, to thinking what next, to kind of, it's the continuation to keep going. You know, what kind of motivates you, what keeps you ticking. And I think if you can kind of get those little sparks into people, I see it just branching out. It's amazing that at first I thought it needed to be the Hollywood story, like the, you know, the player who ended their career, now they're a multi-millionaire and they're doing this, that's the story. Well, actually, no, that's not realistic to everyone. It's those little nuanced pieces about, you know, growing up, being extremely tall and feeling like outcast, and actually that can resonate. There's not a real, like, Hollywood story behind it, but that relates to so many people. Well, the tall people. But you know what I mean? It's that storytelling and those little nuanced approaches. And sometimes it's hard to kind of grasp that, but it's amazing the effect it's been having on people, saying, wow, like, you really, thank you for sharing that, because I've been going through this and it helped me think about this. And, you know, that's the spark. But okay, actually, here's some organizations, here's some resources that can help you on that journey. I think that's the power in it.
Yeah, listening to you, Karen, what stands out to me is kind of LeBron James's slogan or brand, more than an athlete. And Jay has mentioned it several times here on the show that, you know, 10 years ago, being able to balance all these things off the court was frowned upon on a coach or organization. They think that you're not focused. But, you know, now things are different. And I think the platform that you're helping build, like you say, that storytelling, guys able to tell their stories about what the other things that they are doing will be able to inspire new players coming into the league, saying, hey, yeah, I could still be a successful professional basketball player, but I could be working on my afterlife simultaneously. So yep, this is going to be great. But, you know, just speaking of the BBL and the WBBL, you know, I remember vividly in October thinking, man, is there actually going to be a league, and having those conversations. And it's awesome to come on the end of it and think, man, this was a fantastic year, how we were able to navigate through a pandemic, and finishing on a high with May Madness, which was just awesome. And yourself playing a big role in navigating the season through, you know, your role with the Sky Comms team and doing a lot behind the scenes with the BBL. And, you know, just speaking to you now, you're always looking to improve things, not just for yourself, but for everyone. And my question is, how do we build on this season? What needs to be in place next season for us to take that next step?
Well, I think there's a few aspects of that. So for me, how do we keep that talent pool coming in, coming back? And it looks like we've already got off to a good start with some of the signings earlier on in the season, right? But I think what Sky did was that, you know, with the use of Buzz 16, that whole, they did that storytelling. They kind of put the players at the forefront, all right, and told their stories through production, you know. That needs to be enhanced. So from a player's perspective, you know, we've talked about this at length too, the whole welfare piece that we're talking about, right? Okay, actually, now that you've got this product and you've got, how are we making sure that our employees, the ones that we, you know, are paid to entertain and do what they need to do, what's going on in their minds? How do we become more, you know, joint up thinking? And I think I talk about this at length. We need more channels of communication, you know, because that's the only way. Like what I'm saying is, if you're upset about something and you've got nowhere to tell that to, you just stay upset when I'm thinking, oh yeah, everything's just great, when it's not, you know what I mean? So that we have to, like I said, we need that to retain those types of players coming into the league. The way to retain those types of players is to make sure that everyone's joint up thinking, everyone's in at the same time, from a production perspective, from a club welfare perspective, and then from a player accountability perspective as well too. You know, it's one thing to say this, that, and the next thing, but as players, we're accountable as well, you know? And that's where I see this emerging, that we have to make sure that we, like I always look at the three, we always talk about performance, we talk about image, and we talk about exposure, right? These are the three things. If you're performing and you've got a good positive image, without exposure, it's all for nothing. You know, so you need to have all three. So how do we bring that pie together? You know, and that's something that I heard in a couple of talks a few years back, and it just all clicked to me, because I'm looking at our product and thinking to myself, wow, we actually have a good product, but we had no exposure, you know? So how do we actually make sure that we're capitalizing on that and understanding that? And I think the easiest way to do that is to make sure that the players, it's an athlete-centered approach. You know, we have to make sure that our players, as our main assets, are getting their out there telling their stories. And understanding of that, they have to play that role as well. And that's it. That's how I think that we continue to build. And I think we'll look back, even it's even still now, you're going to look back even more in a few years and think, wow, how did we get through that season? You know, how did that actually happen? I think, you know, that will give motivation for the future as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think in some respects, like it, almost with the pandemic forcing us to have to think outside the box and start to embrace things more, has brought that other dimension. And I think what we just need to be mindful of is that dimension stays. It didn't replace something. It's actually enhanced it. So now we've got this element. And like you said, the storytelling, I love, because I think even some of the teams when me and Drew were playing together, like there were always players I feel were frustrated with some things that were going on, and maybe just to be able to have that voice in that conversation. And don't get me wrong, not everything can change.
No,
you know, so sometimes you have to have a conversation with somebody and say, listen, we just are where we are. You know, so currently at the moment, I'm working with the football club and we're trying to work on the basketball side of things, but we're a very humble football club that are trying to get up into League Two. And there's certain things at this level that our coaches within the academy, they want, you know what I mean? They're like, we want to push this on. And you have to have a difficult conversation sometimes to say, okay, well, we don't have that. So how do we think outside the box? And I think if we can just give them that platform and they can get it out in the ether. And I do believe a lot of the things that guys say are like really great points, you know, and sometimes they don't affect us. So we don't notice it, but, yeah, I'm certainly excited for next season, that's for sure. But
Yeah, same here too. Like it's like even like off season, the recruitment started so early, which is quite, you know, I'm not used to that. You know, there's maybe a couple of clubs here and there, you know, that you kind of know what's happening. But I'm seeing these early signings, and I'm thinking, oh wow, we've already got this movement here. We've got this, like things are changing. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, okay, we need to get this now. We need to, you know, players coming back, signing early. You know how it used to be? It was always like last second this, last second that. You had a few clubs that were fortunate enough to have that. But I'm seeing right now there's so much early movement, which is exciting. And I'm wondering what the pandemic has played in that role as well, because maybe people are just wanting a little bit more security, you know? I don't know. But it's going to be an exciting season for sure.
That's definitely my theory. I think that the pandemic's played that role. There's some guys sat at home, they didn't have jobs. And then other guys maybe having conversations with their boys and looking around and, wow, you know, like I'm really fortunate. But I think just having the general as that, you know, that big opening element. Because like you said, we almost do this in the preseason. We're really hyped. We've come off a great season and then we just go down. And then just as we're maybe losing hope, you get the first sign and you're like, whoa, okay, here we go. But, you know, hopefully we can just keep that on the level and have some good highs and maybe just keep it level as we're going along, you know?
Or Cheshire or Leicester just took out a Wonga loan.
What happened was is they checked the bank one day and they got a double payment from the pandemic. Yeah. They're not telling anybody anything and they're just going in. But
yeah, that's how it would be if I hit the lottery. I'm not telling anyone. And I think Russ has hit the lottery. He's just keeping it quiet and he's tripled everybody up. Got his whole star lineup. Come on, Russ, let the cat out of the bag.
It sounds exciting. But hey, listen, I want to focus on you a little bit. Are you still training for your marathon?
Yes, I am. I'm actually just got in from a run before I came on here. And I'm not going to lie, I got extremely bored of just running for a good 3 weeks. And, you know, I started hiking the Munros and everything else. But it's just, it's one of those things that I've committed to it now. And I'm just like, I just want it to be over. But
what mileage are you getting in your legs right now? Because obviously what people don't understand is that it's pretty hefty, isn't it? Especially towards the end, you know?
So I'm doing up 25 miles a week, but I've now started to do a couple of 10 milers to get going. But next month I'm actually starting proper. I've got a 16-week program.
Yeah.
Like I said, last year I did 6 half marathons during the pandemic because I thought it was going to be in October last year. And it just keeps on going and going. And I'm thinking, oh, wow. So now I'm like, yeah, I've been running for over a year and a half now. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. Like I said, you followed my progress. I take little motivation things of seeing other people running or people walking their dogs, a little tip of the hat or whatever. Yeah. It makes me feel a little bit more connected with people. But it's an unbelievable place where I run because there's actually a lot of like Olympic runners who live where I live. So you'll see them out. We've got a cycle track, it goes for 13 miles, and it's just like, whoa, and that humbles me very quickly. Like, I am not a runner. I am not a runner. I am attempting to run.
Yeah, but I'm sure your competitive spirit kicks in and you try to keep up with them. And
then my hamstring goes, and I'm like, okay, yeah.
But Drew, what you don't understand is my wife came out with me like a couple of times to get some like cool footage. I was like, this is a great idea until I saw like myself. So I was like, man, I'm getting good at this running. And then she shows a picture and I'm like, goodness me, I look atrocious, you know? And
that's like me when I look in a window sometimes and I'm like, oh, wow. Like, you know, I feel that it's elegant, you know? Yeah, definitely.
All about perspective.
So listen, who are you doing it for and where can people go to donate?
Yeah, so I wasn't prepared for this. I'm running on behalf, there's a mental health charity in Scotland called Sam H. And it was funny because I was doing the work for Frog Systems and stumbled across them and I seen a lot of the great work they were doing, just kind of providing services. And as we all know right now, there's not enough services going on. So we're looking at other ways of actually how to keep people engaged. So that kind of early intervention type thing, because if we wait till crisis mode with everybody, you know, there's no way they can compete. So yeah, if you go on my Twitter page or my Twitter bio or my Instagram bio, the link's there. My Just Giving page is set up there. And like I said, it's such early days and I've already started to get some donations in it. And again, it's another motivator. It just keeps you going thinking, wow, you know, it's not just me running. I'm doing it for a cause as well. So yeah, it's a nice feeling, like I said, and you know, any donations, I'd be most kindly appreciate. So I'm just hoping I can actually finish.
let's get that out in the ether for you for sure. And I know me and you, we've spoken about this privately, but one day we do need to get a BBL roster of people out there doing some running for our own charity. So
definitely, and my goal is like we've spoke about, I'm hoping to look at from Glasgow, looking at all the clubs covering the distance.
And Drew's up first then.
Yeah.
don't call me.
And we'll just do as a collective to cover the mileage is essentially from Glasgow to Plymouth. And we'll get all the fans involved, ambassadors involved, players involved, you know, if it's 1 mile, if it's 2 miles, whatever it needs to be.
Rex, we'll just Rex has got running written all over him.
And we'll just it'll be a huge, huge fundraiser. And I think it'll be kind of cool. We'll make it competitive as well. So get the ambassadors from the, you know, representing Glasgow, representing Newcastle, this and this. And well, I think it'll be a nice feel to just get everyone involved. Let's get our basketball community behind us and raise some money for some good causes.
Get your runners out, guys. It's not just for fashion. Teo, I'm talking to you. You know, make sure you leave those fashion runners behind and get something.
Those Puma runners.
Hoka, get your Hokas out. Those are the ones for sure. But listen, Kieran, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it. We're really excited to see more on BBO Inspire. It looks so good. And just to spearhead that, you should be proud. Let's catch up again soon.
Thanks for being a part of that. I honestly appreciate everyone's voice on there. You know, like I said, we're trying to inspire a generation. So thank you. And definitely we'll catch up very soon.
Okay, that's it from me, guys. Hope you're enjoying these short road trips whilst we pack our bags and get ready for another adventure. Keep a lookout for all the teasers. Keep tuning in, guys. As always, we're very, very grateful for your eyes and ears, especially through this summer. Drew, lead us out.
Yeah, and any small businesses out there that would like to sponsor an episode, just get in touch and you can join Peter Pizzeria and the Future Inn and being part of those that have contributed to the show.
If you are enjoying this episode of the BBL podcast, support us on Patreon. Every contribution helps to fulfill our mission to distribute content that educates and inspires. Gifts of any size make a positive difference and are always appreciated.
And so since we're in Glasgow, I believe on the way in, we saw the London Lions private jet there. So Jay and I are going to hop on that and stay in the country, head down south, and we'll see you guys next week sometime on the show.
The show.
Thanks for listening to the BBO Show. The BBO Show is a 21 Media original podcast produced by Corey Mallory with your host, Jay Marriott and Drew Lasker. Keep up to date with the show by following the BBO on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, where you can find details on future episodes, events, and fan interaction. Until next time.